I would be remiss if I didn't, we're talking about friendship, if I didn't bring up the relationship with my wife. We've been married for 38 years. We have a daughter, a son-in-law, and three grandkids, and they're my friends too. And they're very, very important to me. Lastly, and certainly not least, is my small, demure friend, Robin Zonick. Robin's sitting right over there. We've known each other for 50 years. And so I was her boyfriend for one day in junior high. Well, that's not really uncommon because there were a variety of us that were her boyfriend for one day. But I was exclusive in that group because Robin went by and kissed me on the cheek, and Mrs. Reinhardt saw that and sent us to the vice principal's office. So those are some really, really good memories. Guys, pretty soon you could cue up the first picture, Steve's Camino. Not right yet. Oh, that one, yeah. So a couple of things, a couple of notes that have kind of spoken to me. There's a book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, written by Stephen Covey. And in the opening chapters, he illustrates that if you could picture yourself at your funeral and listening to people talk about anecdotes or what they liked about you, maybe what they didn't like about you, and if you could get a chance to live that, what would you do? And so that meant a lot to me. What do I want people to say about me at my funeral? And that kind of changed some of my thinking. There's another book by Gale Sayers, a great running back for the Chicago Bears, whose career got shortened by our beloved 49ers. But he wrote a book, I Am Third. And in the book, he explains that God is first, friends and family are second, and he's third. And that spoke a lot to me, too, and really kind of told me that's the way that I should be running my life. Flip the other picture, Matt. Group picture. So I was very fortunate a little over a year ago to walk the Camino de Santiago, and that's a 500-mile pilgrimage. And these four people to the left of me became my nearest and dearest friends. We were together 24/7 for almost 40 days. And it was almost like college life all over again. And that was a good thing. It was a good experience. But if you look just to my left, that gray-haired guy, Richard Crothers, and then there's Erica von Brenk in the middle, that 22-year-old school teacher. Then there's Karen Crothers, Rich's wife. Then there's Tone Hobie, which is on the far left. We were buds. We were pals. And it was very, very cool. We started the trip together and ended the trip together. We had a big party at the end, and we've stayed in touch ever since. My wife and I went back to Spain. Rich and Karen and Tone walked it again this fall. And with it, the next picture, please. On their journey on the Camino, this individual, this is Tone's son, Leon. So when Ricky, my wife and I, we drove back, we met them on the trail, we had dinner with them, and we met Leon, a very vibrant 30-year-old, and just a great, bubbly, effervescent kid. And the reason that I'm focusing on him is that on Thursday, he passed away. So Leon was back in Amsterdam and walking on one of the canals, was horsing around with the fellow, fell into one of the canals, couldn't get up. There was a barge that was going by, sent a big wake, and drowned him. My point in telling you this, relationships matter, but we're all terminally ill. We're all going to die. We're not going to get out of this life together. And it's like I tell my Friday guys, give your wife and your kids a big hug every day, because there's no guarantees that you're going to get home at the end of the day. We're not going to get out of this life together, get alive. So with all that said, friendship matters. It's very important to me, and my friends are special. And if you invited a friend here today, you're special too. And for us that are members here, you're just friends we haven't met yet. So thank you.
Thanks, Steve. The Bible says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that to his friends. In the spaces that are provided for you in your outline, think about right now the family and friends that you're thankful for. And write a few names there. It might be possible that, like in Steve's story, when he thought about some high school friends that he wanted to reconnect with, because he realized that life is short. And he experienced that shortness through Tad's death. Tad was only 42. There may be some friends in your life that you've been estranged from. Maybe a family member that you've been estranged from. Can I just tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. No matter how much you may have to humble yourself or say you're sorry, make the first call. Make the first call. And maybe write down the name of someone that you need to make a call to. Maybe you need to write that letter to. And just start again. It's too important. Life is too short. Friends and family are really important. And I'm so thankful for mine. I know you're thankful for yours. Take some time to not just be thankful, but out of a heart of gratitude, tell somebody. Tell them. Tell them often. Tell them how much you love them. Because it's going to happen someday when you can't. There's also our church family. I'm thankful for you. I think Sandra is the only person here today, because all my kids are not here, she's the only blood. And really, she's blood because, well, she's not even blood. I married her. I guess our kids are blood, but my dad's here. Overlooked you, Dad. Sorry. My dad's blood. But you're family to me. And God said that. One of our key pillars is family. That when we become Christians, God puts us together in groups. And we're really our family. Most of the people Steve mentioned are not his blood. They're people that he's learned to love over years and years of commitment. And that's a bond that's greater than blood. You say, how could that be greater than blood? Well, because, see, here's the difference. That those that are in the family of Christ are eternal. Sadly, some of my biological family don't know Jesus, and some of them have passed away without Christ. I'm not going to see them again. But those of us that have a bond in Jesus Christ, even when we pass away, we're going to be together for eternity. This right here is eternal. Where not even blood can go further than that. The Bible says this as the Apostle Paul was speaking. He said, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. He's thanking God for each other because our love together is increasing. And I'd like to have Christian and Lihoy Verkirk come on up to the stage now. They have a particular story. They're not from these parts. They came from overseas, and God did some really cool things to bring them here. But it's interesting when you change countries. What happens when you find yourself in a whole new place? And what do you do with that? Well, God's family is so good that you can find one pretty much wherever you go. And so, Christian Lihoy, I don't know who's speaking first, but I'd like to go ahead and pass that to you now and let you tell your story.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Christian. This is my wife, Lihoy. And Pastor Greg asked us to share a little bit about how we came into this family And we're now here 3.5 years in California. We moved from the Netherlands, and Lihoy is going to share that story.
Hi, everybody. So just to give you a little bit of a background story on how we ended up here, it goes all the way back to 2004, where I met my husband, Christian, and the same day I met Julius and Amy, who are part of this church. I don't think they're here today. They're probably on their way to Tahoe. That's the same day I met those three. And he popped a question, do you want to go to the Bible study with me? And and I was like, Bible study? What is that? Sure, I'll go with you. And we had some coffee. He introduced me to Julius at the college where we met. And I was like, oh, what a vibrant person. Julius, big smile. And I ended up going to their Bible study that evening, and I met Amy, and I met a couple of others, and I think, well, the rest is kind of history. they took us to a church there called Living Water, and that became our church for the time that we were living in Holland. And Julius and Amy, pictures?
Yeah.
So Julius and Amy were at our wedding. That's Julius right there, a lot skinnier. Don't tell him that when he comes back. Sorry. Anyways, so that was Julius at our wedding. And Julius and Amy got to meet Sam right before he moved out of the Netherlands, which is the next picture, I hope. Yep, there you go. I think Sam was a day or two old, and then Julius moved back to Nigeria. And then with some complications and all, and Amy moved soon after with him. And so we kind of went our ways. And then in 2009, we got reunited here in California. So they were living here, and they were going to this church, and they invited us to this church. And so in 2009, we walked through these doors, and it was a very welcoming experience. It was, I thought it was a tight-knit group. I felt welcome here, and I thought, well, it kind of reminds me of our church in Holland, and it's a cool place. And while we stayed here, Julius was joking around a bit, and he's like, I totally see you guys living here. And we were like, yeah, right. That's not going to happen. So we went back to Holland. And about 3 years later, we moved here. we moved here in April 2012. And we thought the first day, Sunday came around, and we thought, well, we could go to Abundant Life because we've been there before, but maybe we should just look around first. And the Sunday came around, and we were too lazy to look around first. And Julius, Mr. Julius Akbombase, called us and was like, hey, are you coming to our church? Well, of course, we're like, okay, sure, we'll come. And that in that service, we discovered that this is our home. It just became clear to us that this is just where we're going to be. And we're very, very thankful. And a few fun facts is that we only live 5 minutes away from Julius and Amy. We also go to their Bible study, and we go to their church, so it's kind of how it was before. Let me see what else I can share. And the thing about Bible studies is, they happen throughout the week. It's another thing that you do besides going to Sunday service. So you can come here every Sunday and feel like you're part of something. But I think it's an extra step to actually go to a Bible study during the week. And we chose to go to theirs. It's familiar. We really feel at home there. And during these Bible studies, these groups and commons, you really connect in a much deeper level than you do with your friends, your work friends, your school friends, your neighbors. It's a much deeper level because you can share your experiences on a much spiritual level. And we're just really thankful for that, because these type of friendships that you make during these groups and at church, these are eternal friendships. And they go way beyond this your life on earth. And I'm going to pass the microphone to Chris now, because he's going to share the rest.
All right. So fast forward to 2015. Just a little fun fact. A couple of weeks ago, Matt and Duty got married, and we're sitting there eating. And while eating, I kind of looked around, and I smiled and just like had a moment of gratitude, thankfulness, because I looked around at the couples from this church that we were there with. I'm like, these are the people I'm doing life with right now. And it's awesome because I enjoy it. I love it. They're around when I need to. Julius randomly calls me sometimes from the car when I'm cooking usually, which is a bad time. And for some reason, every phone call always ends with, hey, let's pray about something. And it's a good relationship. It's family that it's stuck through moving from one continent to the next, and it's a relationship that's going to last.
Good. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That picture right there, that's a great picture. I mean, besides all the dessert that they're about to eat there on the table. That the Bible talks a lot about eating together, and that to gather together around a table says, you're welcome in my life. You're welcome to be a part of me. And it doesn't matter if you're from Nigeria, if you're from Holland, if you're from whatever place you find yourself from, that when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he brings us together as family. And I'm so thankful for family. For 30 years, Sandra and I have had the opportunity of being family with you. And some of you haven't been here that long. Some of you have been here almost, a couple of you have been here even before us. And I can't imagine having this existence without you. Some of you may not have that. Maybe you've got some friends here or there, and that's great. And I know you love them as deeply as the expressions that have been shared with those that have spoken. But God does something miraculous, and that is that he brings people together as family forever. Funerals are not fun. But Christian funerals are celebrations. They really are. And one guy who moved to Colorado, Jeff Sharkey, his last Sunday was while we were gone. He wrote me an email. He said, I missed you on my last Sunday. But it's so good to say, see you later, instead of goodbye. And that's true. That if I never see Jeff again on this planet, and I will, I'm sure. But if I never did, it is still see you later. Because we get an eternity together. And I'm so thankful for the church family. Last thing I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for Jesus. The Bible says this, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I'm so thankful that at the age, as a little boy, but as a 15-year-old, had the mental, or rather the cognitive understanding of what it meant to know Jesus. And then as I've grown over the last, 39 years of understanding, what does that mean? What is the reality like of living with Jesus and living for Jesus and living with the people who love Jesus? How does that work? And how is it in all of its messiness and in all of its difficulty at times? And it's such a great journey, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I'm assured that no matter what happens, the God who is with me. The God who knows everything, who is all-powerful, who is always present, is God. And he's in my life. And I'm never alone. I'm never in a place where I could say I'm without hope. I'm never in a place when I can say it's useless. Because when you have God in your life, all things are possible. When you have the God who already knows our future, nothing that can happen today that I can say that he didn't know was going to happen, even if it's not easy. God is God. I am so thankful for Jesus and his salvation. Our last storyteller I want to have up is Kyle Hines. Kyle, come on up. And Kyle is a dear one to Sandra in our life, and you'll hear why in just a moment as he shares. But I'm thankful, as the Scripture says, I'm thankful for you, remembering you in my prayers as I've seen you and watched you. And I've been able to watch Kyle for the last year, almost to the date, about a month after, 2 months beyond a year, as God has moved in his life and transformed this man into one of his own. Kyle, I'd have you tell your story.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. So it was a year ago, November 18th to be exact, when I was up here with two very important people, Greg and then also his daughter Audrey, getting baptized and proclaiming my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in a home of abuse, alcoholism, and a lot of other horrible things that happened not only to myself but to my family. This led me to harden my heart and living only for one person, that was myself. I was tired of having hope and trust in others, and I only relied on myself to make me get through each day and to cope with all the chaos around me. I would cope by heavy drinking on the weekends and sometimes weekdays if it was bad enough day. It was really hard to feel anything else besides feeling like numb in my heart. I moved to Cupertino about 3 years ago after my grandfather passed away because he was helping support my mom and myself while I was in school. We couldn't afford to live over in Capitola anymore, so I moved over here into my dad's house for a few months and then to my best friend's house shortly after due to some disagreements with my dad. I started to work at Phil's Coffee just down the street. It's a great place if you haven't been. You should probably go. where I was introduced to many people in the church, including Josiah. I don't know if he's here or not. Manny is also another one, and then Audrey. Audrey's Pastor Greg's youngest daughter and hasn't been around the past year because she's at Vanguard University down in Costa Mesa studying. Audrey's coming to Phil's every day and would casually talk to me as she did her homework. And as we began our friendship, I had noticed something about her. I had noticed this joy and happiness she had in her life and the joy she would bring to others. I distinctly remember asking her, how did she turn out so good? And why are you the way you are? She would just simply say, Jesus. Let me tell you, not knowing who Jesus was or anything about him, I thought she was a little bit crazy. I was like, okay. after asking a million questions to her, she suggests I ask them to her dad as well. And a really funny story is I remember Josiah and a couple of people, they're like, just come to church, just come to church. And my joke was, no, I can't go because my feet will catch on fire if I step in the church. I was like, no, I'm not going there. I can't go. So after asking her questions, I met up. She had convinced me somehow to go to church with her on Sunday. And Pastor Greg was given a sermon on those three types of people being lost. People who don't know they're lost, people who know they're lost but don't know how to be found, and people who know they're lost and don't care or want to be found. There's a lot of lost people, if you don't know. This had really spoken to me that day and made me realize I was one of the three people who were lost. A few days later, Pastor Greg and I sat down, and now I was ready for the real challenge of trying to stump the pastor. And it didn't work. So we sat down. The first thing I noticed about Greg was the genuine joy this guy had too. And I was like, what's with all these people? I don't understand. Like, they're all so happy. I just don't get it. But that's what I was seeking for too. I was looking for that happiness and that joy. After I tried stumping him for an hour or so, when we would meet, I would leave with more questions than answers. One distinct thing we talked about that was probably my turning point to Christ was that he gave me an analogy of a compass. He told me that without Jesus, we were basically like a compass with no reference point. Many of us try to look one way to bring us joy and true happiness, but usually end up right back where we started our journey. This was really crazy to me. They talked about a compass that didn't have a fixed reference point because a few years back this was probably like 6 years ago. How old am I? I forgot. Probably like 6 years ago, I got a tattoo on my arm. Let me show off my guns too real quick. of this compass. of this compass. And I wanted the compass to look like the needle was spinning, like just spinning, like didn't have a fixed reference point. So, I don't know, it doesn't really look like that, but I tried. I mean, it didn't turn out spinning, but it's fixed, which is kind of funny. But I got that because, sorry, lost my spot. I wanted to get this because I wanted it to, like, represent my life and how I felt. It was, like, it was kind of all over the place, you know, like I had no direction. I didn't know where it was going or where my life was leading me. After realizing I couldn't do this on my own anymore, and many more meetings with Pastor Greg and his wife, Sandra, the three of us prayed on September 17, 2014, for Jesus to heal me, to forgive me, and to cleanse my sins. Jesus had changed my heart that day. Over the past year, I've been living my life for Christ. He has healed my heart and my mind. The numbness I used to have turned to joy and love, just like what Audrey and all of you have. I've learned how to forgive in my heart, like Jesus has forgiven me, and mended my relationship with my father, my mother, and many other people I pushed out of my life. One of the biggest changes I've felt is that the loneliness is gone, that Pastor Greg was talking about. After my whole life of feeling alone and on my own, I have someone that's always there, that I can always count on with everything, that will answer my prayers and give me wisdom that I need. Jesus died for me, so my purpose is now to live for him. I'm thankful for God, who had never gave up on me, even when I gave up on myself and brought so many amazing people into my life.
God just does those things to people. That's what he does. And that's why we can be thankful. For the people in our life, for the church family, for the Lord. And in your notes, there's different places there for you to write the names of people. In the second part there, are there people in the church that you're thankful for that you haven't told lately? Write a couple of names in that spot. And tell somebody. Remind them. Be a person who has a heart of gratitude. That you're always thankful and always looking for an outlet. Because your heart is full. The last part there says, I'm thankful to Jesus for changing me. How are you thankful for him changing you? What did he change? If he truly has changed you. It's really, really important to remember where you came from. It's really important to remember how God has worked in your life. Sometimes it's easy to forget and take it for granted. Maybe you've had friends and family in your life that Jesus has changed. And the next line there says, I'm thankful to Jesus for changing my friends and family. I'm thankful for Kyle that God has changed his life, especially because my daughter kind of likes him. It's really important that he be changed. Are you changed? Are you changed? A lot of people here, maybe you're hearing some of this for the first time, or maybe it's been a while since you have heard it, this God talk. And I met one friend of a friend this morning, and he says, it's been a long time since I've been in church. Maybe that's you. That's okay. I'm glad you're here. You know, somebody really loved you enough to invite you. And there are no accidents with God. Kyle gave some dates in September and November. Maybe today is your date that you'll reference November 22nd, 2015 as the date when life changed for you. Some of you might be a little afraid for life to change. Can I just tell you that living for Jesus is not easy, but it's the most rewarding. It's not always pleasant, but it's the most fulfilling. It's not always free of some trepidation, but it's purposeful. Ultimately, it's about the Lord God who created everything being the Lord of our lives. And when we turn our lives over to Him, not only are we able to live life on this earth full of all the things that you've heard spoken about today, but also after this life. Because Steve said, we're not getting out of this alive. It's just not going to happen. All of us is going to have a day. All of us will have a tombstone. How is it going to end for you? People in your life loved you enough to invite you to come to hear this. I know that some think, man, all that religious stuff, church stuff, people should just keep it to themselves. It's private. Well, can a person who sees another one drowning keep the life preserver private? But I'm not drowning. I'm doing just fine. Trust me, you're drowning. Trust me. Love compels us to tell you. Love demands that we share. And love demands that you are invited today. It's really, really important. What friend would they be if the most important thing in their life they held back from you? That's not much of a friend. So I'm going to pray right now. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask anybody to get embarrassed by anything. But I am going to ask you to make a choice. Then on the back of your connection card, there's a place that says, today I made a decision to follow Jesus. And you may not know what that means. Well, that's what we're here for. To help you learn what that means. When Kyle accepted Christ, he didn't know what that meant. But now over the last year, he's learned to understand more and more clearly what that means. You don't have to have all the answers today. You don't have to have everything clear. Really, all that today is about is being thankful for God and at this moment saying, I don't know everything, but here's what I know. Whatever He's talking about, whatever those people talked about, and whatever I felt that day, I want that. And you're going to find out it's not a that, it's a Him. So I'm going to pray. Simple prayer. And if so, there's some here this morning that are saying, I'm praying along with you. And I'm just going to ask you on the back of your connection card, if you check that box, and as you exit today, there'll be people at the doors. You can put your card into the box. Everybody else will be putting their cards in too. So yours won't be the lone one in there looking awkward. And then I'll get a hold of you. I'll get a hold of you personally this week. And just start to help you learn what it means to experience life the way Steve shared it, and the way Lai Hoi and Christian shared it, and the way Kyle shared it. And the way the friends that brought you have shared it with you. So let's pray together. Worship team, if you'd come while we pray. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you every day. And I'm so glad for Steve's story and the friends that he has in his life and his family that he has in his life. And I'm thankful, God, that you've given us all people like that. I know he's inspiring because he works so hard at building lasting relationships. What a rich legacy that is. And that's because of you, Lord. It's so amazing to hear about Christian and Lai Hoi and changing countries, continents, but yet finding family. Because that's what you do, God. You put people in families. And we found family. And all of the people that they've known and now are really inseparable. That's inspiring. Because sometimes people just get lonely. And there are probably some that are lonely today that don't have to be. I thank you, Lord, that you put us in families. I thank you for Kyle's story, Lord, of real life change. A lost, numb, confused guy with a tattoo on his arm of a compass with no needle, or one spinning without a clue. And you came into his life, and now he has a clue. He has a purpose. He understands that there's a different way to live. That's inspiring. Because I want to renew that in my life every day. I want to renew my purpose every day. God, today I want to submit my life afresh to you. And with a heart of gratitude, say thank you for what you've done. I want to live for you, Lord, every day of my life, because I know with you and only with you is true life. And once this life is done, eternal life awaits. It's a win-win. Life and love now and life forever with you. God, thank you for what you have done. I thank you for your awesome, awesome, amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Check that box in the back of your card. I'm going to sing one more song and we're going to be done. Sure glad you came today. It's been a fun day, yeah? Really fun just to sing and worship and hear good stories. I want to invite you back next week if you're a guest. 9 o'clock, 10:45, fellowship time in the middle. And I'm not asking you to make any decisions, but if you feel what I'm feeling, this is real. Come on back. Learn what it means to know a God who loved you so much that he couldn't live without you. So he gave his life. You can know him and live life so differently.
Free to stand, to sit, however you'd like. But sing with me. If you would. Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch.